Boys and girls, what time is it? Does anybody, any of the kids know what time it is? It's time for what? Kingdom Kids. So you are dismissed, and what is the most important word we're going to say today? Run? Okay. Carol?
We're going to read the word of the Lord. And so when we're doing that, why don't we stand up and read this together? When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.
Thank you, Carol. Well, we do have a guest here today, and you know, Fred borders on not needing to be introduced as a guest. I don't know how many times Fred has spoken here. I'm guessing it's probably 30, roughly. But Fred Schaefer, if you did not know, was a member or is a member of this local church. And roughly approximately 30 years ago, Fred was called by God to go and minister to the Aboriginal people, which is an extremely interesting call from God. As Fred would tell you, he didn't really know who the Aboriginals were when God called him to go there and minister to them. So it's a great pleasure. I introduce our friend. He is part of this family, Fred Schaefer.
Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. And what I've been given is a message for life. And that's John 13:34, which essentially says, love like Christ. And as I thought of this group, and what could I give, since I'm dust and he's everything, what could I give? What have I got that would help each and every one of you, that I could just pour out everything that I have into you? And I came upon prayer. Next slide. And the thought is, can we talk about your life? And when I was a boy, as I was growing up, I could talk to anybody about prayer. We prayed in school. But I didn't find anybody to talk about sex, you know, my sex life. But now, today, we can pray in school, and we can talk to anybody about sex. Amen? And so I'd like to have you imagine that you are now standing before God and everyone. Jesus Christ is is giving you your time to tell your story, and he says, can we talk to you about your prayer life? I don't know about you, but I'd like to talk about a lot of other things besides my prayer life with Jesus. I don't know, is anybody really happy or content or all done in terms of prayer life? And so if I were to write a book on my prayer life, I'd start with the fondest of memories. I don't know how far you can go back in your prayer life, but I remember walking with my 3.5-year-old sister as a 5-year-old Freddie through a dangerous couple blocks in the Jewish ghetto in Chicago and coming into a place of warmth and love. They call it Sunday school. They call it church. But I found it to be a little bit of heaven, considering everything else that was going around. And they assigned one gray-haired old lady to Freddie, and she took me through my scriptures. And one of the things I'm most happy about is she took me through the Lord's Prayer to the point that I memorized it. And then they gave me a prayer book. They call it a Bible at 9 years old. And so that was my grounding. That was my prayer life. And I remember my graces and my bedtime prayers. But then when I was 11, and I'd been working 2 years out in the streets, peddling, and I was sitting on the church step when they opened the door and said, come on in, boys, we're having a special night. And I walked into a place like this with a big A-frame ceiling, and it said, ye must be born again, in letters that big. And I was. And then I made the most profitable, the best prayer of my life when I responded to God's saving grace. That was a prayer. That's chapter 1 and 2. And so there I am, out in the streets with nothing to help me but my prayer life. And you got to know that I made some pretty God help me prayers with my fists clenched. But then I started on a very positive prayer in chapter 3. My prayer for the woman of my dreams. A girlfriend. And then the next chapter came out with being invited by my friend to go on a double date, a blind date, and coming up an old farmhouse in the middle of the city, knocking on a door. And here comes smiling Carol, encouraging Carol. Build me up, buttercup. And that's been an answer to prayer over that meeting, to going to my high school prom with my prom date, Carol, to 60-year-old relationship, 55 years married. It's a long chapter. From there, we got to go into the fact that she encouraged me to go to university. I was all ready to be a factory worker the rest of my life. I'd worked my 16th, 17th, 18th year working the factory after school. Thought it was a great job. But she said, you can do more. And suddenly I found myself at the University of Illinois, not having studied, having prayed through my problems with mathematics, for example. One of my professors said, Fred, you're in the very competitive course of engineering at the University of Illinois, and you're going to have to do something more than prayer. And suddenly I learned about prayer and action. Amen? That, as James says, if you pray for a person and he's needy and you don't also take the action to answer your prayer, what good is that? And so I needed to start learning about putting action to my prayer, not waiting for what drops in my birdcage, so to speak. That would be the next chapter of that experience. But they did a decent job at the two of the best business schools in America and two of the best Fortune 500 companies like Polaroid. They did a good job of getting me to depend on myself, getting me to self-actualize. And suddenly I found myself putting my prayer book up on the back shelf as I let God be my co-pilot and we talk things over. And that didn't go very far. That chapter is a short, bad chapter. But by the grace of God, I prayed. I told my wife, I've led you astray. She says, let's go to the local church every time it's open. That'll help. And I came to this church, and they took me on their bus. They had a school bus, which was pretty much full. And we went to Billy Graham's crusade, and there I made my second best prayer when he told me that I had to get right with him and let Jesus be Lord again. And so I found myself praying, not knowing that Carol prayed it. So we put all on the altar and totally committed our lives to Christ. Became, in fact, a second blessing, a heart perfection, total sanctification. And that happened at that Billy Graham crusade. That was my second most profitable prayer where I could be totally focused on what God told me to do. And one of my friends suggested that I take all the time I was putting into other literature and read the Bible. Take that time and put it to reading the Bible and praying my Bible, my Psalter, my prayer book. That was a very rich chapter of reading and reading and reading. And what I found was that I was way behind in my prayer life, because the Bible said, pray always, continue, without ceasing. And here I was sort of sneaking it in when I had time for it. God help me. And that I'm just going to my notes to keep my chapter straight here. We're almost finished. And in my prayer life, what I realized is how much I needed more prayer. But when I looked around for like a men's prayer group, I couldn't find anyone any place. So I joined the women's prayer group in my church. And by the grace of God, they not only taught me to pray, but they taught me the verses that said, go. And they said, you got to go on a mission trip. You got to go on a work and witness trip. And I said, I just don't have time. And they kept on praying for me, and they kept on talking to me. And finally, they said, well, we've got this mission trip already set for you to be on these dates. And I said, I can't do that. That's the most important time of my work. And they talked to Carol, and she says, well, I'll run the business while he's away. Had no more excuses, so I went to Haiti. And while I was praying in Haiti, overlooking a hospital, what I realized is that God had trained me to be a missionary, that he'd given me everything. For example, I worked for a Jewish butcher, a cross-cultural experience. I worked for a French company, Salomon Ski Bindings, cross-cultural experience. And I saw that I had everything I needed to go to the mission field. But then I said, well, I'll do that when I'm old and gray. But that whole process of getting me through there was another chapter. Another big chapter was that since we, as a group of men in a men's Bible study, realize that none of us, I don't know if you can say that right now, none of us know all we need to know about prayer. But there's got to be somebody in this community that knows about prayer. And so we asked those people to come one by one. There was about eight of them that we thought knew something about prayer and could help us. So we went through seven. We're down to our last one. His name is Harold Brusell. He was the chaplain over at Gordon College. He was the senior pastor over at First Congregational Church of Hamilton. And he came in and he told us how he had difficulty in praying. He was right there with us. But he said he got help from a guy by the name of Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. He's going way back. And so my ears perked up, and he says, Martin Luther said that I am so busy, I could relate to that. So many things to do, so many responsibilities. And you got to remember, Martin Luther was a monk. You know, talk about a simple lifestyle without problems. You know, you'd think a monk would be right there. He said, but now he got married, and he's having a big family. He's got problems, right? And he's running a church. He's got problems. He's the head of a denomination. He's the head of a reformation. He's translating the Bible into the German language for the first time. You know, he's doing a lot of music. Amen, Simon. He said, if you don't know how to marry music to a sermon, you can't be a priest. So he's writing songs, some of my favorite songs written by him. But he says, I'm so busy, I got so much to do that I must pray 3 hours a day. And I says, wait a second. That's not what I learned in university. That's not what I learned in big business. This is new. This is New Testament. This is the 29th book of Acts. And I've been meditating and praying. This is a long chapter. I've been meditating and praying on that thought ever since. And what I got is that our dialogue with God is such that we are nothing. David says in the Psalms, time after time, I am dust. And so we got a lot to talk about. He knows everything. I know nothing. We got a lot to talk about. And the more responsibilities I have, the more I got to talk about. Amen? And so it's starting to permeate on me, and that's a continuing chapter. Another thing that I picked up is that from a guy by the name of Frank Laubach, he's written a couple books on prayer. What he says is that with all of us, Jesus comes into our heart and brings the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's right here. This is not a tough problem. This is an intimate problem. We're not alone on this. He's right here. And he's talking to us. And we gotta listen to him. We gotta listen up. And then we gotta talk back. We gotta have a dialogue going back and forth. And finally, the last person that has really impacted my prayer life was a guy that I used to call KLR. And you might call him Pastor Kim Richardson. But if I had a name like Kim, I wouldn't mention it. So I called him KLR. And like some of you are being discipled by Gene, by the grace of God, He discipled me a long time ago, but he had the job of discipling me to be a priest. Gene mentioned that I had been called to evangelize in Australia amongst the Aborigines. I was going through the process of becoming a reverend, and he had the big job of discipling me. And when it came to corporate prayer, like Kevin made such a beautiful prayer, he said, "Fred, you got to think of the Lord's Prayer as the skeleton of your prayer." He says, "If you listen to good public prayers, that's what they're doing. It's got to be the framework of your prayer." And so I tried to make all of my prayers scriptural, if you will, all of my prayers as per the Lord's Prayer. And so, resting on that last big lesson, the last chapter, I'd like to pray for you. And if you want to follow my prayer, please go into your bulletin. And I've got an interpretation of a translation of all that I've learned on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to pray for you right now. So please take a posture of prayer. You might take a peek of this as to say, where is he going with this? But I'm going to pray for you now. Please take a posture of prayer. Oh, Father God, I begin my prayer to you, our prayer. It's not my prayer. It's not a selfish prayer. It's our prayer, Father God. This is the prayer that the millenniums, the two millennia of Christians have made. This is the prayer that is the prayer of all Christians, the 2.5 billion Christians in this world. It's our prayer. And we say our Father very, very possessively. It's our Father. One thing we own jointly that unifies us is that we've got the same Father. And oh, Father God, we pray to our Father who is in heaven, who is a God who is. You're real. You're tangible. You're alive. Our Father who is in heaven. And when we think of heaven, Father God, we think of outer space and the trillion times a trillion planets that people call the hoary host, the angels. There you are in heaven with the angels, Father God. And oh, Father God, we pray that we could hallow you. We could lift you up with our prayers. We could lift you up with our Christian perfection. We could lift you up with our songs. Let us lift you up beyond the outer space into your heaven, your highest heaven, your spiritual heaven. And let us lift you up to the top of that spiritual heaven, to the heaven of the highest power of the highest heaven. Let us lift you up. Let us hallow your name. And we pray that your kingdom, your kingdom, the place where your perfection prevails, the place that you're the boss, you're the Lord, you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your kingdom. Come, bring it on down, Lord. We've had enough. Please, Lord, bring that kingdom down, dear Lord, for all of us, Father God, for the whole world. Your kingdom come, your will, oh, Father God, we want that kingdom to come where everything you want happens, Father God. When we look at our lives, it don't all happen all the time, Father God, but we want that your church, your will would be done, your kingdom would come and pervade this entire earth, Father God, this place that we call home, this place that Satan has dominion over, Father God. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Father God, that this entire earth would permeate with your will, this entire earth would permeate with your kingdom. It would be all you and none of us, Father God. And give us today, oh Father God, you're the only giver of gifts. All of our gift, all of our helps are directly from you, Father God. So we want to give us today our daily bread. And Father God, as much as we appreciate your provision of bread, Father God, and I've never had a day where I didn't willingly eat. I was starved. You've always provided, Father God. Give us all the provisions that we need each and every day, Father God. Give us today your daily bread. And, oh, Father God, we got to remember to listen, Father God, that when we're praying to you, we got to take an equal amount of time to listen to you, Father God. And so let us just slow down this prayer and take a moment to listen. And oh, Father God, we do have to beg for your forgiveness, dear Lord. We acknowledge, dear Lord, that we don't pray for all the saints all the time. We don't love you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And all of our strength, Father God. We are standing here with a gap between your will for us and our action and our thoughts and our prayers, Father God. So please, please, please have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Extend your complete love for us, dear Lord. And forgive us, dear Lord. And oh, Father God, we hate to say it, but we know, we're in on the know, Father God, that you can only forgive us as much as we forgive those that sin against us, dear Lord. And oh, how we'd like to have more of your forgiveness because we have more forgiveness, dear Lord. But we've got grudges, we've got pains of your account, we've got sins against us that we react to still, Father God. And so please, 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 let us forgive more so you can forgive us more, dear Lord. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Help us, dear Lord. Forgive us, dear Lord, for more and more as we forgive others more and more. Let us not be easily offended, Father God. Let us not even see all of the sins that are committed against us or acknowledge them or do anything but forgive them, dear Lord. And oh, Father God, as we just think of what more we can ask for, we beg you, we lay prostrate, dear Lord, and ask you to lead us not into temptation, Father God. We have a basis in Adam and Eve who committed the first fulfilled temptation, Father God. And Satan has been doing a great job along with his demons, Father God, to tempt us more and more through our workplace or through our home or through our school, Father God. But please, 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 don't you be part of that temptation process, dear Lord. Lead us not into temptation. But, oh, Father God, please, please, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, Father God. Deliver us from evil, Father God. Let us practice spiritual warfare. Let us be often in prayer and never in sin. Please, Father God, deliver us from evil. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to wrap this up, I've got to get my sense of balance after standing straight up. One of the things that God has gotten to me is that as I love you, as I love each of you, as Christ loves me and he died for me, as I meditate on that and I think about that and I ask you to think about it, is the way I've got to love you is to want you to be in heaven forever with God. And to want you to be in the highest heaven, right alongside God in the throne seat to his right. And want you to be like God to the point that you're wearing a big crown. Can you see it? That's what I'm to owe no man nothing, but that's what I'm to aspire for you. That's what I am to pray for you. And the 2.5 billion Christians and the 5 billion non-Christians. That's my job, is to love you like Christ loved you, to want for you to have the highest heaven, the highest and biggest mansion. And then it's my job to live that way. Prayer without action stinks. I've got to live like that, totally committed to you and every person in the planet, to have the highest heaven and the biggest crown. And so I just pray that you could make that your prayer life and help you along the way. I'm going to give it all. Amen. And nobody ever told me I was a good singer. I don't think I was asked to be in the worship team here. And they didn't ask me to make a solo. They asked me to talk. But I want to pray this prayer on the blue sheet here. If you could just pick out the blue sheet, and if you feel courageous, please, please, please pray or sing along with me. It's going to start with Our Father and finish in Jesus' name, Amen. So we'll start it from the top. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you. Let's continue to worship with our giving our tithes and offerings. I just want to remind you that there's a welcome form in the seat pockets in front of you. If you're new to us, you can fill out some information on the front, and on the back is a place for prayer requests. Ushers, please come forward. I'm going to read from Psalm 95. It says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are depths, are the depths of the earth, and the mountains' peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all of your many blessings. You own the whole world, and we thank you for what you give to us. Help us to worship you by giving a portion back to you. May you be glorified by our gifts, not just of our finances, but also of our hearts. Amen.